I am Wade Watkins, Chairperson of the Utah Board of Accountancy. I would like to call this meeting of the Utah Board of Accountancy to order. It is now 1:32 p.m. on October 5th, 2016. This meeting is being held in room 402 of the Heber Wells Building in Salt Lake City, Utah. Notice of this meeting was provided as required under Utah's open meeting laws. In compliance with Utah's open meeting laws, this meeting is being recorded in its entirety. The recording will be posted to the Utah Public Notice website no later than 3 business days following the meeting. In compliance with Utah's open meeting laws, written minutes will also be prepared at this meeting, appropriately marked, pending approval. Minutes will be available to the public no later than 30 days after the close of the meeting. Approved minutes will be posted to the Utah Public Notice website no later than 3 business days after approval. The following board members are in attendance: Wade Watkins, Robert Feuer, Carrie Woolsey, Michael Gregory, and at this time Tim Larson is not. The following, Tim Larson at the time is absent. The following individuals representing Doppel and the Department of Commerce are in attendance. Mark Steinigle is not. Dan Jones, Bureau Manager. Ann Naglin, Board Secretary. Nina Bowen, Compliance Specialist. And Pamela Bennett is not currently. We welcome any visitors and interested persons at this time. Please be sure to sign the attendance report for the meeting and identify yourselves before speaking. As a courtesy to everyone participating in the meeting at this time, we ask that all cell phones, pagers, etc., be turned off or changed to silent mode. Board motions and votes will be recorded in the minutes, so let us go ahead and begin. So, first call of, or item on the is signed signature of the per diem. It's there going around. We have the approval of the board minutes from the September 8th board meeting.
So moved.
Okay. We have a motion to approve those. Any discussion?
Second.
A second. Any discussion? Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay. It's unanimous. They're approved. Compliance report.
Okay.
Nina.
Well, nothing much to bring to you gentlemen today. They're all compliant. All reports, the quarter just started October 1st, and I have received any reporting that was required. I do just have a few things I just need to go over. We have 2 new probationers, Mr. Richard Price and Mr. Marty Van Wagner. First of all, with Mr. Price, he is with Global Business Solutions. In his order, it does state that he is required to submit a supervisor report. He's actually the owner of Global. So would it be sufficient for him to just provide me an email or an update? Do you want to look at this?
Stipulation for just once.
It's right under that green tab, Dan.
Make sure I remember the right situation.
I know we read so many of them.
Yeah, that'd be fine.
Okay.
He failed to complete a peer review, and he's obligated to complete that. And there was a misrepresentation when he applied for renewal. He answered yes, that he had completed it, and he had not.
Okay.
So we picked up on that, and he's going to have to get that completed.
So is he just on probation? Here it says 2018. Is it just until he completes a peer review?
No, he is on until then.
Okay.
He did ask me in the intake interview after he completes that peer review. He would like to come back before the board, and I told him he has that option. That he's
okay.
More than welcome to do that if he would like to. So he has 6 months to complete it.
Okay.
So we'll find out then if he does. But
after he completes the peer review, what are his ongoing responsibilities?
Just the employer report.
Every quarter?
Quarterly. And so he'll just provide just a report quarterly letting me know what he's doing with Global. Yeah. He is the owner, so.
Mm-hmm. Does he have any partners?
He does not. No. He says he has about 5 employees working with him, so.
Yeah.
So.
We won't need to enforce that in, under those circumstances. If we were one where we was doing some practice monitoring, we could get a report from that person that's doing the practice monitoring, but peer review is going to have the same type of effect. So I think we're in good shape with where we're going.
So am I understanding this right? He falsified his
He answered yes on the last renewal cycle that he had completed a peer review within 3 years. He had not. And it came to our attention, so we picked it up and said, are you going to complete one soon? And he said, yes, I will.
Go, go, team, go.
Thank you.
Okay.
Okay, the next one is Mr. Marty Van Wagner. He actually is going to have a reviewer review his reports. He would like to have Doug Childs, and he has actually done those before, be one that reviews the reports for him.
So what was Marty's?
That was SEC discipline, was it not?
Yes.
I believe it was.
Yeah.
And he is actually, Doug Child actually is in the same firm with him. So he would be required to, his was disciplined by Securities and Exchange Commission. Pursuant to an order making findings and imposing remedial sanctions pursuant to such and such with securities. Rules of practice, a copy of which is incorporated by reference, and then there's an Exhibit A that is attached to that. He was denied the privilege of practicing before the SEC for a period of 3 years. So.
And his probation will follow that same time.
Yeah.
So he just has to provide a quarterly report as well.
We will get into that type of discussion a little bit later in the meeting today, too. But when we have an SEC discipline, we will typically follow the same time period for probation. Since they address public audits, normally if it's an audit failure, which it is with a PCAOB order, we will require that the audits of non-public companies that they are not prohibited from doing but are still of concern or are adequately reviewed by someone that is in good standing. So that's typically what we do in those types of situations. So he fit our criteria for those types of situations right on. So that's what we've ordered. We've done those multiple times in that situation.
Would Doug and Marty both be partners in the same firm? Mm-hmm. So there's an interest there of sorts that might be a little bit of a conflict?
Typically we have had that happen a few times, and that has not been a problem, mainly because with somebody that is in the firm, they may be apt to maybe look a little closer to what he's reviewing. Actually, we did have Doug Child with us for a period of time, and so he does know, you know, what we do look for.
With someone outside of his firm, so. So he's been he's filled this position.
He has
for us
a few times before. So,
and that was just recent, within the
it
last
was,
year or so.
It was.
I remember it. Sounds familiar.
Yes.
So I would trust Doug to.
Now, will either one of the I guess Richard would be coming before us if he wants to.
If he wants to, I'm sure he probably will.
What about
will.
Marty? Is he?
No. As long as he is on. For the probation with...
Yeah, and if you approve the supervisor, or the supervising reviewer.
Okay. Yeah.
Do we need a motion for that?
Probably ought to.
Probably should, yeah.
Well, I move that we accept Doug Child as the reviewer for Marty Van Wagner.
Second.
Any discussion, further discussion? Okay. All in favor, I guess we need to vote on all in favor.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed?
Great. I will let him know that then.
Great.
Thank you.
Yes, thank you very much for what you do.
Sorry, I didn't have more for you today there.
There's always hope for next month.
No.
Okay. All right. So do we want to move on to the hearing now, or?
It's not going to be a formal hearing. It's
okay.
A review of the application.
The stipulation.
The stipulation.
Okay.
I can... give the board a brief statement about our reasons for proposing a stipulation with a reprimand in this case, if that's okay.
Yes, sure, go ahead.
And Mr. Elliott, or Mr. Taylor, Elliott Taylor, will may add some comments for Mr. Jones. When we have, when we are imposing sanctions for discipline, we are required to treat similar types of situations in a similar manner. And this one is a little bit coming up in a rather unusual setting that we haven't seen before, so we wanted to run it by you. But we also see some elements in this one that are similar to elements we've seen in some other cases, and I wanted to explain that element so that you can see where we're coming from in terms of trying to be equitable in our discipline across different people. When we have SEC discipline, like I mentioned before, we will typically have them serve a period of probation that corresponds with the length of time that the SEC has ordered. And some of those have been, I've seen 1 to 5 years, and I've seen some permanent bars from practicing before the SEC. We try to mirror that time period fairly closely. We realize that that only covers public audits, and then there may be shortfalls on other audits. You know, if you have a shortfall in one type of audit, you may have some others. So we ask that the people involved have their other audits reviewed. We don't prohibit them from practicing like the SEC may have done, but we do assure that those audits are being also conducted adequately. And then after they complete that time period, they get off probation and go back to active and good standing, which happened with Mr. Jones in this case several years ago. And then I want to talk about some other types of cases where we've handled reprimands. We've had a number of firms, multi-state firms or larger firms, where there's been SEC sanctions. There has not necessarily been action in the state of Utah, but there's been serious misconduct or orders with substantial fines and that type of thing that's happened at the SEC or the PCAOB level. We believe that when that happens, there should be an entry at least on the Utah record, but if the remedial sanctions that have been ordered by the SEC or the PCAOB handle the problem, we would not necessarily put that firm on probation as well. So we've seen that with some of the bigger firms in the country where they've had a substantial problem. They've appeared to have corrected that problem. There's no need to place them on probation, if you would, similar to where their office. And in those cases, the SEC has not prohibited the company from practicing. They've just imposed some sanctions, some remedial sanctions. So on those ends, we have proposed a stipulation or ordered a reprimand and no further sanctions beyond what was there. In this case, Mr. Jones, subsequent to the getting off probation, had some problems with the SEC, and I'll state it in the I realized there was a non-admission, I believe, but agreed to the sanction. So I want to say there were some allegations by the SEC that he violated the terms of his ability to service SEC clients. They ordered, obtained an order after it went through court of disgorgement of the fees that was earned, and that has been paid. So the remedial sanctions that have been ordered by the SEC has actually happened. And given those, it's similar to other kinds of cases where we found that the remedial sanctions have already been served. But that's not always the case. Sometimes if there's some serious types of misconduct, you may want some additional monitoring by the board or by probation. In this case, it does look like the remedial sanctions have fulfilled the need, and therefore we proposed the stipulation that we did. But we wanted to review it with you before we accepted it because of the unusual nature in which it came about. We typically don't necessarily bring a proposed stipulation to the board before it's accepted if it's one of our standard, if it's in our normal criteria that we're doing. But since this one is not quite the normal criteria, we wanted your review and approval before we accepted that stipulation under the circumstances. I didn't go into the facts too much in this case because I think you've all received that and have had a chance to go through those details. So I don't think additional comments on those facts beyond, you know, explaining how we're trying to handle this in an appropriate manner across different CPAs that may be sanctioned.
Can I, I want to ask you a couple of questions.
Okay.
First of all, did you, in order to appear before the SEC, you have to be licensed?
As a CPA, yes.
As a CPA and approved or be approved by the SEC?
I don't think there's a requirement.
You're approved until unapproved.
Okay. Yeah, I don't think you have to be formally approved to prepare an audit for an SEC client, but if they sanction you, they can bar you from doing that.
Well, that's what I noticed. They originally, in this case, the probation started in 2001, but with an invitation to come back after 3 years for reinstatement.
And he did not apply for reinstatement.
Right, but it didn't seem, at least in this way, it doesn't sound like there's much prejudice attached to, like the SEC is going to hold it against you forever. They said, had to come back after 3 years, pretty much it'll be reinstated as
right.
I read it, and he didn't do that.
Yeah, I very rarely see a permanent bar from coming back
right.
with the SEC. They, you know, it may be very difficult depending on the severity of the sanctions.
Mm-hmm.
If there was going to be a permanent bar, that would be typically where there is not only an audit failure, but some conscious disregard
yes.
or falsity
that
was there beyond the audit failure.
Uh-huh.
And so it would have to be fairly serious for them to say, we're going to permanently bar you.
Mm-hmm.
We've had some that they've just barred them, but they may reapply after a period of time, and they've come back. And we had one last year.
Well, that's what hit me in this one, is that they kind of left over, you know, the invitation after 3 years. Through your probation, you come back and reapply
mm-hmm.
and for reinstatements, and he failed to do that, which is what the fault was. But as he said, he thought he was all right with it, but whatever. But
yeah, we often in these situations see people that do not want to return to auditing SEC reporting companies.
Mm-hmm.
And so they've chosen, I don't necessarily need to apply.
Okay.
In this case, the SEC believed
he sure.
needed to do for what he was doing.
Okay.
But he did not
reply. So was he auditing SEC?
He was not auditing, but he was consulting.
And preparing statements, if I understood it right.
That's correct. Footnote, drafting footnotes. He didn't participate as an officer, director, or chief financial officer, but the SEC took the position that practicing before the commission is purposely ambiguous. They had the chief accountant testify that the reason for that is because it keeps people from trying to get around the rules. Our argument was, well, it keeps people from complying with the rules when it's ambiguous. But he had advice of counsel that performing these non-audit functions for public companies probably fell within what would be allowed. So when the 3 years elapsed and he passed his probation with the state, he thought well, I don't need to reapply because I'm not really doing audit stuff. And the litigation really came over the fact that the SEC enforcement was saying, we're going to take the position that everything you did violated the order. And so then it became a matter of what is an equitable disgorgement. The SEC was seeking $2.5 million plus prejudgment interest. And so the litigation really came down to, and Judge Jenkins felt that not everything that Mr. Jones was doing violated the order, but there were plenty of, this was 12 or 13 year period of time,
yeah,
plenty of work that could be characterized as participating in the process. So he paid the disgorgement amount immediately and has chosen at this time not to, to comply with the order once he has his license renewed. Then he knows that I think he'll do it, he'll apply to be reinstated. Because they didn't add any additional time. It just basically said if you're going to be providing these non-audit related services, you need to apply for readmission.
Still a $600,000 penalty is substantial.
Yeah.
It certainly got my attention when I read it. I didn't have to pay
it. Yeah, that's a lot. That's quite over 10 or 12 year period of time. And, that's
yeah.
And there was no interest, fortunately. The judge didn't know about the interest.
So I guess the question in my mind really comes down to that decision or lack of decision to apply.
Mm-hmm.
Was that a calculated risk with intention? Was it oversight?
I can answer your question. He had counsel, Paul Moxley, who made inquiry to the Office of the Chief of Accountants as to what was necessary to reapply. The Office of the Chief Accountant replied, and if you remember, there was a change. We used to have not the AICPA, there was a separate group that reviewed auditors. I forgot the name, but the PCAOB was implemented and changed that, and the rules changed. And so Mr. Jones' inquiry on what was necessary to reapply was at the time when the chief accountant said, well, the rules have changed. Now if you're going to do public company auditing, you need to be a member of a PCAOB registered firm. So his counsel made a determination that if he wasn't going to be doing auditing and wasn't going to be, if he was going to do auditing, he needed to become affiliated with a PCAOB registered firm. So someone had asked earlier about this other SEC disciplinary proceeding, is that the firm where Doug Childs worked is a PCAOB registered firm. And Doug is, like it was said before, you don't apply to be admitted. You fall into the group if you do something wrong, basically, and then they can bar you from practicing. So, but once you have been barred, you do need to reapply if you're going to do any work on behalf of an SEC filer. So, yes, it was Mr. Jones did engage counsel. Counsel testified at the trial that he did provide Mr. Jones with the advice that he didn't need to reapply, and even knowing that counsel could potentially be at risk for malpractice in that particular case. The judge, Judge Jenkins, found that even though Mr. Jones relied on counsel that legally, as a defense, you have to establish that you not only engaged them for that purpose, but they rendered an opinion specifically identifying what you were engaged for, that the opinion said you didn't have to. And so Mr. Jones didn't take that formal step. So the court rejected the argument because it didn't meet the legal test to rely on it. But they didn't say the testimony wasn't true. And so, you know, one of those situations that, with hindsight, no one in these kind of situations should take it lightly, and if they want to be engaged in that, they need to reapply. And so Mr. Jones has never denied what he did, and he never denied the types of activities that he was performing, just truly thought that he was not required to reapply.
The question was the counsel, outside counsel. It's not within the
bar. Paul Moxley, the outside counsel, is Allard Spar. He's been president of the bar. I mean, he's been here 40 years, a very reputable lawyer.
Kerry, to your point, what would a normal person, what would be the normal course of action that I would apply, that I would pursue on this? And
so I would probably seek legal advice.
Right, outside legal advice, and do that. The only thing I wondered about is, you know, it didn't get the opinion in writing.
Yeah, and that's,
but there's a
probably that's probably oversight. You know, just.
And probably both parts. Probably.
Yeah.
What I'm really looking for is
I just want to make sure that there was no willful disobedience to the SEC order, that there's evidence that would support the position that he was following a due diligence course that was appropriate, even though it wasn't accepted.
So the SEC order doesn't give you any specific as to prohibited activities other than signing an audit report. So, and Mr. Jones did not sign an audit report that was included in the public filing.
So,
no evidence.
So, the subsequent case that the SEC filed and resulting in the disgorgement of fees, they never tested or tried the validity of the work that he completed. It was really all just based on the merits that they believed it was in violation of.
That is correct. There was no.
So there's no opinion on whether or not that there was a deficiency in the work that he performed.
No.
Okay. Just want to make sure that's out there.
We have not been made aware of any.
And Judge Jenkins, in his order, indicates that, you know, it wasn't allegations of fraud or misapplication of the accounting rules. It's just simply the litigation is a legal step when you can't resolve something during the investigatory stage. The difference between $2.5 million plus interest plus some other number. And so we had made an offer in settlement and they rejected it. And so the SEC's only recourse is to file a proceeding in federal court asking the court to enjoin Mr. Jones and to tell Mr. Jones to comply with the order. So that's the simplicity of it. But the underlying thing is, in our intent was, I think we need to determine what was violated of the order so that we can at least come up with a reasonable basis for disgorgement. And then, of course, we argued that disgorgement didn't apply. We lost that, but technically we kind of won because $600,000 is a lot less than $200 million.
Yeah.
Still a lot of money.
Okay.
So the stipulation is that it's just a public reprimand on
yes.
license.
And our position would be this is similar enough to other cases where the remedial sanctions had already been served by the disgorgement that was ordered and paid.
Mm-hmm. And the prior probation.
The prior probation was completed successfully, so we didn't have an issue with that. So it's simply the latest violation that the SEC.
Is it difficult to be reinstated?
I haven't gone through the process. I've seen many CPAs go through the process.
Without knowing the details of the underlying first case, you don't know how difficult that would be.
Yeah, I don't see it happen an awful lot because most of the CPAs that I see go through this process say this was over my head and I don't choose to get back in to that field. But we've had some that go back through the process and have applied and have got through. I don't know how difficult that was for them to do that, but they have got reapproved.
So on the public reprimand, that will be on his record, basically on his license, until he decides if he wants to reapply to practice before the SEC, or what's the length of time that will be there?
Right now there is no period for that coming off of a record. There is a bill that was passed last year where we no longer publish them on our public website after 10 years.
Okay.
So if somebody inquires, has Mr. Jones been disciplined? The answer will be yes. If after the 10 years, the answer would be yes. They could request a copy of that, but it would not be posted on our internet site after 10 years. They can, after 5 years, apply to have that removed from the internet site, but right now there is no provision for expungement of that record. So once there's a disciplinary action, it stays on the record.
More or less permanent. Attached for the person.
Okay. Yeah. But most people realize the older those are, and particularly if the license is active and good standing after that, mm-hmm. that there's no ongoing consequence to that. So, and that's a built-in age factor as well. More than 10 years ago, it's, even though it's not off the record, it's semi-off the record, and it's not continued to be published on our website.
You'd have to really seek after finding that information.
You'd have to make a grandma request. I found out that this person was disciplined more than 10 years ago. I'd like a copy of that record, and they can get that.
Okay.
Any other questions?
I think that we recommend approval of the stipulation.
We have a motion, a second.
I'll second.
Okay. Any other discussion before we go to a vote? Okay. Do we need to do a roll call vote or just a,
no?
Just so all in favor?
Aye.
All right. Any opposed? None. So it was against. The motion carries.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Appreciate it.
Do we have the original to sign that?
Yes.
And there are the minutes. Just in the minutes.
This is the original.
Spears is not here. Do we have the ability to reprimand her? For
yeah. We're not showing up.
We're not showing up.
She's taking her place.
Okay.
Well, I don't know.
Apologize, I'm late.
Well, I don't know.
Traffic's okay. Crazy up there.
Yeah,
that's weird. Right. I actually got a text from Tim that says he's caught in the traffic. So he's hoping to get here, but we'll see.
It's shut down everywhere.
Yeah.
So the next item on the agenda then is continued discussion of the SARS 21 and a test definition discussion. And I guess we have Tell me your name.
Joshua Turnbow.
Joshua Turnbow from the UACPA here. Exactly. So if you want to come up to the table and...
And I'm not sure that I'll do any justice that Susan would do, but we can definitely go through and see what we can do here. She has provided me with, I guess, the AICPA's suggested revisions to the... To the definitions. I don't know if she, did she provide that on. Yeah.
That's been already.
Yes. So that's really what she wanted to kind of say is, you know, this is what she's pulled from the AICPA, that she approves it, she likes the language, she's pushed it out to the executive board and other members, and has gotten feedback on it. And so this is where it stands as far as the UACPA's, input into this.
Yeah. So this has gone through, like
we've,
you say,
we've seen
before
the
board. We've seen it. Put together a task force as well.
Correct.
A professional that has reviewed it.
Yep.
And so.
And so basically that's where she's at with it, is to say, you know, from the UACPA side, we're happy with where we're at on it, and I guess looking for more input from the board as to whether there should be other changes made to it or not.
Let me
just speak for the record, and you may or may not be aware of this. This is a proposal for a statute change, so the statute change would have to be made by the legislature,
right.
Not this body. But I believe what the UACPA is seeking is an opinion from the board of this looks acceptable or not,
right.
To the board,
it's presented
so that they can
the
present it to the
right.
Legislature that way.
With an endorsement.
So it will not be action that the board itself can take other than to recommend that the legislature take some action.
Okay. Any discussion as you've reviewed this?
Well, I've been through it, and I like all the changes.
Mm-hmm.
We've struck the stuff about volunteers.
Yes.
Which I like. And the other changes seem in accordance with the things we've talked about.
State and this state topic.
Mm-hmm.
That was in our last meeting that we discussed quite a bit.
I agree. I think it's
looking good.
Sufficient, adequate. So, do we need to make a motion, or
I would think you'd want to so that they can make a representation that this has been recommended
by
the
board.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So, do we, unless we have further discussion before we have a motion, is there a motion?
Yeah, are there any parts that are
any
specific
questions
or
clarifications that you would like before?
I mean, it's been. At least from our side, it's been pretty thoroughly in.
Yes.
Carrie, you're on the board with us there, and
mm-hmm.
so, I mean, it's had a lot of opinion thrown back and forth.
Yeah,
so.
I don't see anything that I think would be controversial at the legislative.
No administrative. We don't have any administrative fallacies in here.
I don't see anything that would be a problem for us to administer.
Yes, because I have
this
right there.
This is just formatting.
Yeah, I'll let her know that.
I found it confusing.
Double check a couple little formatting pieces there.
Yeah. Well, the state. So there's a question on. Let's see if I can find the right. So it's 5826A302 2A. Whatever. So the statement says.
Say that again. 5826A302
qualifications for licensure and registration.
2A.
2A, and then it's BA 3.
2A, B.
So it's just the.
It's deletion of the word jurisdiction.
Yeah. So jurisdiction is crossed out and added state, district, and territory.
Okay, I just wondered because the way we defined states before, and
you're
talking
that?
About that's back in the definitions.
Yeah. Oh, this is
at the very start. I just
wanted
for you to say licensed by the states because of the way we defined that.
Where was the definition?
Yeah, because there's three.
Yeah, we added district or territory because jurisdiction was nondescript.
Right.
But if we say the states, we did define that at the very start of the document in our definitions.
Oh, yeah, and I think we're okay just to say state because we've defined state as means any state of the United States, District of Columbia. So,
or territories.
So you need to have district or territory, I guess, would be...
It's redundant.
Yeah,
that's true.
Yeah. It's redundant.
I'll make a note of that.
Good catch.
Yeah.
We talked about that last meeting.
Even though it may be redundant, I think it's helpful to understand the district or territory in the context of where it's at, because state is sometimes used generically.
Well, we defined it, again, going back to the start, by this state, would be Utah, the states would refer to all of them, and that would be my contention.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, and we do it the same, we do it again the next page, on page 8, under B, we say state, district, or territory.
And maybe that's okay. That's just, it seems a little redundant to me if we tried to define it and gone through the painstaking process of definitions.
I'm ambivalent. I could have it.
I could go either way.
Yeah. And I would imagine that it goes through the legislative process that our attorneys would weigh in.
Yeah.
So
I think it's important we leave something for them to change.
That's right.
That's good strategy there.
Yeah. Well, no, it just, I mean, I dealt with another organization on this floor that I always tried to let them have something that they could change.
Maybe that won't dive in any deeper.
That's right. I always tried to get them to try to decide between two, you know, two different alternatives, both of which were acceptable to me, and had them argue which one was better.
So, do we have a motion then to?
I move that we accept the proposed language and recommend to the association that we've endorsed this and be moved on to the legislature.
Okay, a second?
I'd second that.
Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Okay, done. So the motion carries.
Okay. Thank you.
Made my part easy.
Yeah,
fast. We can get 10 stuff without Susan here.
That's right.
With that was the last item on the agenda. So do we want to talk about next meeting time now, or can we do that after the meeting? I guess it's right here, next scheduled meeting, November 2nd. Are we going to need a meeting on that day?
Not necessarily.
Okay. The reason I ask is both Tim and myself will be at the annual meeting of National State Boards of Accountancy, which ends that day, so we will be out of town.
Okay.
So
since we don't have any hearing scheduled, let's just try to go to the December 1
meeting.
And we'll skip that one.
Okay.
But if we do, if it turns out that we do need a meeting, I'd say
we're going to have to look at a different date anyhow. We'll try to go to
December.
I don't anticipate. We've gone through maybe a comment on our renewal cycle. We've gone through our renewal cycle. We've seen a couple of items that we've proposed stipulations with the standard criteria on. I don't see anything right now that would need board attention. So that could change with a late filer, but so far we've reviewed everything that's come through, and I think we're on top of that.
Okay.
Sometimes we have a little bit of extra activity right after a renewal cycle, but
stipulations have been accepted. There was not any.
We've proposed some stipulations. And since the renewal came in right close to the end, what we did was we conditionally extended their license to the end of December so that they would have time to consider the proposed stipulation. It's our standard criteria, but they may... they may want to say, hey, here's some other facts. I think they're pretty much our standard one, but those would have a potential to come back for review by the board, but not necessarily. Yeah.
Okay. Well, while we have four members here, should we look at our calendars for the 9th?
In case we need to.
And at least put that on the calendar for the 9th, and then Ann can cancel if there's no need.
Oh, okay.
I'm fine for the 9th if we
need to. I'm fine for the 9th also. You just need to notify Tim.
I would be open that day as well.
Let me see if that works for me. 9th is a Wednesday. I don't have anything, so I would be open as well. Okay. So we'll use that as a potential date if needed.
That's what I'm thinking.
I'm not anticipating anything at this point.
Fine,
I would think I would see it by now if we was going to have that type of thing.
Okay. Good catch.
And since we do have the ability on, as I mentioned, on a couple of other ones where we extended the licensure until the end of the year in order to accommodate the review, it didn't make it critical that we do it in November necessarily.
Do we have any board members going off the board at the end of this year?
No. The fiscal year, so
and my term runs until December 31st, 2017.
And I think you're the one with the most.
June
30th, 2017, and you could be reappointed.
Oh, June 30th? Okay, yes. We must have been late getting the documentation.
We could draft you for another term.
I'd be very amenable to that. I've enjoyed this challenge and visiting with you guys.
Kind of like having you here. So,
well, thank you. I appreciate that. But I found it intellectually very challenging.
You keep us sort of focused on the things that we don't normally wouldn't focus on because we're all of the same mold.
Well, it's very kind of you to say that. I guess that's my role.
That's your role.
To
keep
us
straight.
No, I'd be very open to reappointment. Mm-hmm. That would be something you want to consider.
Okay.
And Tim has appeared.
Yes.
It's crazy out there.
Made it through the traffic.
We've been safe.
I got off the 90th South, and it took me almost 40 minutes to go from 90th from the exit to State Street.
See, okay. Well, at this point, I
could have walked that quicker.
I know.
The problem is, you have a car.
Yeah.
Wow. I think at this point, it's only fair we ask Tim to author the motion to adjourn.
Yeah.
So moved.
Okay. So it's now 2:20 p.m., and the meeting is adjourned.
So did the...